Welcome back to Kitchen Curiosity, the podcast that delves into the heart of food service and food service equipment. Today I'm over in Germany, in Berlin. I'm sitting down with three highly esteemed international food service consultants. They're all members of the Food Service Consultant Society International, FCSI. We're going to be discussing their careers, what's coming up in the market, innovation, AI, and we're also going to be discussing some of the conferences the FCSI has got. I'm recording in a beautiful show demonstration kitchen at Frank Wagner's offices in Berlin. So if you hear a bit of noise, it's just because we are in a bit of a working environment. Frank is the president of EMI, Europe, Africa, Middle East for the FCSI, and he's also one of the co-owners of K3 consultancy here in Germany. Frank, welcome to the show. Thank you for hosting us.
Yeah, thank you for having me here. So I'm very happy.
Yeah, it's great to meet you in person, and honestly, fantastic offices, and yeah, it's good. I've got a beer.
Yeah.
So it's
a Radler. Huh?
Yeah. I feel it's the first time I've done a recording with a beer. Yeah. I think that's very good. So for the listeners, what drew you into food service consultancy?
Actually, you know, I started that in 1989.
Oh, wow.
So because I was, you know, in the east side, you know, German Democratic Republic at this time. So, and we had a change, and I just finished my university in 1989,
yeah.
I think. Mm-hmm. So, and then, you know, we had that change. Yeah. So, and everybody comes.
So you were living in the
eastern part.
In the east part.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Wow.
So, and they kicked me out of the company. It was an engineering office for big bakeries. So okay. I have done, you know, bakery industrial plants.
Okay.
Designed for that in engineering. So, and I was not necessary anymore mm-hmm. after the change. Right. So they kicked me out. So, and then I tried to find a new job, and I found it in kitchen equipment selling at this time. Yeah. So that started 1998. And the consultancies I started 1994. A long time ago, because people were always stealing my designs,
mm-hmm.
so I could not sell equipment. So because they were going with my designs,
and
somebody else wants, so I started selling that.
Right. Okay.
My drawings. So that's how it started
back in '94. Well, in '89, I actually joined the British Army. I was 16, and in '91, I was posted to Germany to Fallingbostel.
Yeah.
So I spent 3 years in Germany. So yeah.
1991 was a crazy time here in Berlin, at least.
So when you say that, it really resonated with me because obviously I remember the wall coming down and all of that. So really, that's a whole different podcast.
It is.
It is. But we could go somewhere else on that. So you're really well known in Germany and also internationally, obviously being the president of the FCSI here. What's driven your success, if you like that?
Oh, actually, that was we were used to change and new things.
Okay.
Yeah, so because of the situation we had in the 80s, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and that means that we were open to everything. So I was traveling the world.
Right.
So, you know, first I have done shopping malls, and then we were running to the US. You know, I visited every possible shopping mall there. So in every possible city, from Toronto down to, I think Miami was the last. So then came back to Germany, and then you have to talk about something, you know, something people mostly don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So and then in the 2000, I started doing these international conferences with FCSI. That was also by luck, actually. So and we wrote a book, of course, and these things. So and then people reading that, people inviting you, and you go internationally. So, and if you go internationally...
That FCSI, is that kitchen plan?
Kitchen design
book. Yeah, because I've seen that, yeah.
Yeah, so a big one.
Really good book.
So, and this, it's sold out, it's old already, so, but, you know, still you can use it. It's just standard kitchen design...
Principles,
yeah. So, and then, you know, with the international connection, you have the network you have, the experience you get. So then you start doing design different.
Yeah.
I think that's it. And, you know, I studied engineering, technology at this time. Means it's a different approach. You know, I'm not a chef.
Right,
I cannot do any cooking at home, maybe, but mostly pasta. So that's easy. And then I started traveling. So on the traveling side, that made the difference.
Yeah, of course.
Because you see more, you see different possibilities. You, for every problem, you have seen something in a different country. Yeah? So solutions are there. So you just need to find them. Yeah?
In KDRI, what sort of clients? Do you work a broad spectrum of clients? Or are you?
Yeah.
I know some consultants say maybe doing hotels
Actually, you know, I started with shopping malls because I'm good with shopping malls. So I can, you know, rearrange shops, make, you know, very nice food courts.
Yeah.
That's where we started in the 90s. So on. That's the reason why we visited all the shopping malls in the US. And then, we got a big contract at this time, canteens for the German railways.
Okay.
So they Deutsche Bahn. They had to renovate 500 canteens in 3 years. And I was 28, so I thought, that's a job I can take. Yeah. So yeah. Very difficult. I know now.
Yeah.
It cost 20 kilo more. So gray hair.
Were those there for feeding the
staff, the people,
the workers of the
workers? The, yes.
Yeah.
I learned a lot about. I was under the impression, the eastern part of Germany is very, simple and old, but actually was not. There were parts in southern West Germany, they needed much more money than the eastern part. Yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah. So that's where it started. So then I got involved in project management. We had to do multi-project management. There is not the book. Nobody in university is teaching that. There is no literature, nothing. So we had to develop, a system ourselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we had done that for 3 years, and then we had to quit. So because it was too much. I had 40 people in our office, and then we had subcontractors.
40 people?
Yeah.
Wow.
And we had subcontractors everywhere, in the north and the south. So they're doing interior design, kitchen design, architects.
Yeah.
So that was a lot. So and then, you're stuck into canteens. Then back from shopping malls to canteens. So and then we closed that in 1998, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We stopped that. And then I said, I need to do something new. So we started with hotels, for instance.
Okay.
So then we went into hotels, and they had the second Gulf War.
Mm-hmm.
So all the hotel business went down.
Yeah.
So then we started without any contract in Germany because all the hotels were stopped. So then we were forced to go internationally. So I have very good friends, Roman Denk from Radisson here. So he said, why not go into Russia? Why not go into Africa?
Yeah.
So you can speak Russian, you can speak English. Was very basic.
Right.
I said, okay, no problem. So let's do it. Yeah.
Okay.
So and then we went to Moscow, and then that was then the hotel.
Yeah.
It's the same as with the canteens. If you start that, you're getting good, you're getting better, you're doing a lot.
Yeah.
We have done many hotels. Many hotels. Africa, but Sheraton at this time, very good friends in Sheraton.
Okay.
So yeah, so until today, so we're doing hotels.
Yeah.
So in Germany, we're doing canteens.
Yeah. Internationally, doing hotels. Yes. You've got quite a broad spectrum of
skill sets. Hospital kitchens.
Right. Okay.
But it's not our main business. Central Kitchen is not our main. We cooperate or collaborate here, but our friends, they're doing that very often from FCSI. And then we have shopping malls still. They're coming back now.
Mm-hmm.
KDW here in Germany. So in the sixth floor is 8,000 square meter food hall or manifesto market, or, other markets. So that's doing concepts, helping them
design. It's quite broad, really.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, talk about your history, and you've seen Germany evolve massively in the last sort of 3 decades. What can you see is emerging in Germany, specifically in the food service market? What do you think where the growth is at the moment, would you say?
Food markets are very, very popular at the moment. Yeah, but I think it's driven by institutional investors like funds and banks. And so they're forcing that. So you also have companies like Compass, they're maybe not doing so much in the canteens anymore. Mm-hmm. So they need to do more business and other things. So you have food markets coming up everywhere. So, but I'm not 100% sure. So they will stay as they are. So because they are very much just like, you know, putting shop, some seating, making some events. So that will be maybe in the future more entertainment, more work, work and, you know, party together.
Yeah.
So because the young generation, collaboration. So it's a community building place, you know, where digital communities meet to do digital things at the end. So that's it. So we're working here with a company called Instinct, right? So it's a marketing, I would say a modern digital marketing company. So we're trying to merge digital marketing because it's a complete different world. Yeah, young people, so the clients starting now, so they're all 40, I'm 60. Yeah? So then, you know, the young people, they live in a different world coming now and doing the business, but they cannot do the business as we have done it before. So that means, you know, we will merge digital and reality at the moment. That's a very nice, very scary development.
Definitely. We're moving in a fast technology. But which kind of leads on to my next question. Obviously, you're the president of the FCSI for Europe, Africa, and the Middle East. So I'm quite a busy gentleman with this business and the FCSI. Can you tell us a little bit about your role within the FCSI and, you know, what does it mean to be the president? What do you do?
You know, it's more like a mediator. I don't know, some you know, I try to connect the people. So because, you know, in the past I was thinking, you know, the UK and the Germans and the Spanish, they're all different. But we had a very interesting workshop beginning of this year or last year. You know, somewhere in between, where we invited all the local presidents to find out what their specific visions and roles and thinking in our business is. And it came out that everybody is sharing the same vision. Everybody, you know, the whole Europe, Africa, and we had nobody from Africa, or Middle East and Europe, include UK, of course. So that's all sharing one vision. So, and that was a big surprise. I had to change everything. Because I thought, you know, we strengthen the local local people. So and using, but there is no local. Like, this is just how I call it,
preconceived. Preconceived.
So
idea.
Germans drinking beer. So, but Czechs drinking much more beer than.
Preconceived idea.
So that's.
What is that?
You know, everybody wants to do, you know, a nice, highly efficient, modern restaurants that suits all the guests. And guests and the business owners at the end. So if you're in Spain, it's the same as in Italy. So just the food is different. So it's tradition. Everything comes with it. So the people are maybe don't think about ventilation, but everybody wants to have a good ventilation. Nobody wants to kill the chef. So at the end of the day, it's the same. So it's just a cultural difference. That means they eat different foods, some more healthy, some others. But in Liverpool, so we went to Liverpool to prepare for the conference and EME conference next year. So, and there was different food, but it was excellent food in that hotel. So I was surprised. So because you always have something
preconceived ideas.
So, and that's all not true. So it's everybody wants to have good food, good time, want to have party, want to have peace. So, and that's what everybody is doing,
So, and we'll later in the podcast we'll pick up on the Liverpool conference. So, how are you kind of supporting getting young people into the industry as the FCSI?
So we had, you know, the Americans. I was in Tuscan for the America conference last year. It was in Austin, Texas. So, and they had an initiative called EPIC. Emerging consultants in emerging professionals in consultancy. So where they're collecting beginners, let's say that way. So, and I thought that is a very, very, very good idea. I discussed that in the board and everybody agreed that's a very good idea to start, you know, having young people because, you know, we're doing all that student challenges every year, having a lot of students coming to the events and, you know, it's like you're doing, you know, a big hype. Everybody's want to do something. And then, you know, it just, nobody is following up, you know, the people leaving, because it's a association of old men at the end. So, and that's very annoying. Annoying is, I hope, is the right word. So, but it is actually. So that means, you know, we had to change that. You have to bring younger people. We had to bring women, because the business until 40 now is 50-50. So you have consultants, male or female or whatever. So they all together. So there is no difference. But if you come older, it's only old men, gray hair, big belly like me. So they're sitting there and doing business and, you know, explaining the world. So on, we started in Germany, Austria. What's the first one now? The initiative to look who is young.
Yeah.
Even from my office, I have 1, 2, 3, 4 people now joining or joined FCSI.
Right, okay.
So they're all, you know, younger than 40.
Mm-hmm.
So it means between 30 and 40. So one is 27 now.
Yeah.
So that's, well, he is on a trip through Europe now. So, and they... I gave the feedback, you know, that's they have nothing to say. So that's the reason why, you know, we wanted to separate the group and saying, you know, that's organize your own FCSI. So that's your FCSI. So, and then you have mentors, mentoring programs. Yeah. So, you know, if they taking over FCSI, so then we will have FCSI for the next 20 years. If we continue working, so we all... you know, out of business in 5 years. It's left nothing. So that's the reason why we need to start the process to hand over, to make sure that it grows. And so that's what we do now.
I was over in the US a couple of months ago and met with the president or the chair of the FCSI in the US. And she, exactly what you're saying. I actually saw it as well. I mean, obviously, it's kind of where it's founded, so it's really, there was a lot of... excitement, but yeah, you can see that they're really driving that as well.
So they want to do the work, so they are. They, you know, actually, the clients are young. So I, if I come in, you know, I talking too much about old things, maybe. So you know, I trying to get my younger guys in the front now, so that because they talk in the same language. Yeah, it's the same with these guys from Instinct. So it's influencer marketing. So I don't know any influencer, we were lucky we met them. So, and he said, no, no, it's not about influencer. It's about community building. So we have a community, every product, everything needs a community.
Yeah.
So and it is a community. If you are able to build a community that is sharing the same, I don't know, ideas.
It's awesome. Yeah.
So then you can continue. That's a sustainable business.
Yeah.
So that's, we're doing the same at FCSI, but not digitally. So it's a community of people. They know each other. They work together. They are friends.
Mm-hmm.
We are not competitors. We compete, but we are not competitors. Yeah.
Okay.
So that means, you know, we're doing all the same business. We have all the same, you know, lack of information about, you know, what's happening in Japan. Or So we're trying to do a Chinese restaurant, never seen China.
So
on that you can share, you can change. They want to
collaborate
do,
and work together.
Yeah, so that's it. So we have built beer restaurants in Shanghai. So what? How can you do that? I can do that. So there are 4,000 people. So I will never do a Chinese restaurant in Germany. So that's how can I?
fair
I know enough. Too much now.
Just a bit coming to the end of this part of the podcast, but could you sum up in three words your consultancy style, if you like?
Oh, no, I'd say that's... I would say that's collaboration, communication, and cooperation.
Okay. So, final question, Frank. Is there... It's a bit of a fun question. Is there something that people might be surprised to learn about you outside of... what they know, I don't know, hobby or I don't know.
Or, you know, I'm a big fan of quantum physics. Nobody knows
quantum physics.
Yeah.
There you go.
I want, you know, actually that started, you know, I wanted to understand is the quantum computing, what does it mean? So is it statistic? Because for me, it's just statistics. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and how can statistic be precise? It's impossible. I thought so, So and I'm watching that very, very, very closely. And there's also a theory called the game theory. So how to, how I don't know if the English word is right, Spieletheorie. It's a theory how processes fall together. I don't know how to explain that. So it's the same with quantum physics. So process, you know, it's a little bit
complicated, but how the processes work together.
You know, games are, you cannot predict sometimes, you know, everything is unpredictable. So because it's luck, bad luck, good luck. Yeah. So, but there's a theory where you can theoretically calculate everything. Yeah. So,
that's, and what the chances of winning something or doing something.
Chances. Or, yeah. But it's all statistic at the end. Statistics. Yeah? So, and statistic, you cannot. So it's 50-50 always. Yeah. So sometimes longer period, sometimes shorter period. So, but this started all with this German Deutsche Bahn, German Railways canteen project.
Okay.
Because I had to find the method to do 500 projects in 3 years at the same time.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So, and you had a lot of stakeholders coming, you know, 30 people has to do approval for one project.
Wow.
So that means you had so many processes running at the same time, and you had to make sure that
so many different people.
Yeah. So, and it all crashed. If somebody comes and say, oh, stop, I have to think about that. And,
whereas now, because you've got so much more technology, some of those processes are maybe streamlined a little bit.
No, the only thing is you can do more operations in the same time.
Fine, okay.
So that means calculations at the same time.
Right,
so
okay.
That's all. Yeah. That's so, all. But the complex you cannot change. So that stays. But AI is easier. So that's a crazy thing. Yeah. I love that. Yeah.
Okay, well.
But I would never discuss with a professor. Yeah. So.
Well, Frank, thank you for being on this part of the podcast, obviously hosting us here as well.
No,
I'm going to go on now and speak to two of your colleagues, and then you're going to rejoin us at the end for a group discussion, and we'll talk about Liverpool, etc. And I'm going to enjoy my beer as we go through recording. Thank you.
Okay.
So now I'm joined by a leading food service consultant, Manfred Merkley, from Switzerland. He works in projects in Switzerland, also international. He's joining me here in Berlin. He's flown in this morning. Manfred, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Well, thank you for making the journey all the way here to Berlin.
No problem. It was a nice journey.
But I think you said to me it's not too bad of a journey.
Yeah, for us in Switzerland, it's 1 hour far away, but... I started at 7, been here at 11, so it's 3 or 4 hours, it's easy.
Quite easy.
And I will be back tonight, so no problem.
No problem at all. So just for our listeners, can you tell us a little bit about your journey into food service consultancy? Kind of where did it all begin?
I learned carpenter.
Carpenter?
As carpenter till 20, so around about 10 years.
Right.
And then I saw in my company now that they look for a kitchen planner for a gastro consultant. And I thought, why not? Let's have a look. And then since the first day, it was for me everything always interesting. I learned there from Patrick and Rudy that they are the owner from the company.
Okay.
Also they have been the owner from the company.
Yeah.
And now it's... Patrick is not there anymore. He's pensioniert.
Retired.
And now it's the company for me and Rudy Weidmann. And in the last 18 years, I learned every day a lot of gastro consultant. And it's every day is very important.
Okay.
And very interesting.
Very, of course. And your company, what's it called? And what do you work in, different sectors or just generally? Or...
We do everything with gastronomy.
Okay, it could be hotels, could be hospitals.
Yeah, we do the kiosk from a small stadium. We do a small shop from train station to hospitality planning and everything. Everything with gastronomy.
Okay. So, obviously, you're based in Switzerland. I know that obviously you're working as well internationally. What kind of sets apart, say, Swiss food service projects from the rest of Europe? Or is it the same?
It's At least it's the same.
Okay.
At the beginning, it's the first projects in, we had someone in Finland, something in Germany, something in Austria, and at first it sounds much more difficult. But at least if you know everything, it's still the same.
The same things yeah. apply.
It's just more in Turkey or some countries like this, it's a little bit more difficult for the prep. You don't have just one station for the vegetables, fish and beef. You yeah. have separated stations. That's the only one that's a little bit much more special. Or if you're on the on an ocean, you have a different with the water.
Of course, yeah.
But Germany, also, the rest is similar, yeah. same.
I think maybe because there's we would perceive Switzerland as kind of a higher, higher standard, but it's probably the same as Germany or France. Or,
it's yeah. The same, but that's the crazy thing is the regulars are the same.
Okay.
But at least if you look at how they build it, it's the Switzerland maybe a little bit more strong, they are a little bit stronger with the regulation.
Yeah, and the quality of the products, possibly?
It's similar,
depending on budget.
It's but in Switzerland, if the regular is, if they say A, you have to build A. And I think in somewhere else, it's not always like the
yeah, it's a little bit more flexible.
We're yeah, exactly. It's a little bit more flexible. But Europe is on a lot of regulars, they are much stronger than Switzerland.
Right, okay. So you're involved in quite a lot of international projects. Can you talk about one that's sort of quite memorable for you within your career without disclosing, or we can disclose whatever, if you're allowed to disclose?
It's for Marche International, we could plan in Shenzhen in China.
Oh, wow, okay.
In a shopping center, a Marche.
Yeah.
And that was really interesting because they have a much stronger regulars than we have.
Seriously, what for food hygiene?
Yeah, for special the preparation. If you have a Marche mm-hmm. in Switzerland or everywhere in Europe, you have the food court and everything is open from yeah. the back of house to the front. In China, we planned this like everything is open and they told us, no way. Everything who is in the back of house, they can't have a way directly to the front. So you have just a pickup window.
Right.
The dish goes not, the person can't walk between the two zones.
Oh, okay.
And that was for me very interesting.
So very much like the raw and the cooked.
Yeah,
that's like real clear.
Close.
Wow.
And that was for me really interesting because we thought, yeah, China. Easy.
Yeah. But no, and, actually.
And then we had to change a lot of things. It was possible, but it was for me really, really, good or bad.
Surprise.
We found in China there are no regals,
so
regulations.
Mm.
And then we saw out there are much stronger.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
That was very, very interesting.
So was it a complete supermarket?
Shopping center.
Shopping center. Yeah. Oh, with different outlets
yeah.
and different...
And
wow.
Also the emergency exits.
Yeah.
We planned on the back something like 2 or 2.5 meter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's at least it was 4 meter.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, because it's for us in Switzerland, we can't believe how is a shopping center in China. It's probably a little bit bigger than everything that we have.
Yeah, massive.
Yeah. Yeah. And we thought, we have there enough space for the back with the storage and all this. Huh. And then, after the first meeting, it was a little bit strong for us.
Yeah.
And then we had, but it was good. It was great. They told us exactly, you need 4 meters, you have to close here, and it was everything clear for us. So that
right.
was,
yeah.
Then so. And there was everything fixed, and we didn't change. That's also for me, was very impressive.
Okay. How long did the project take?
For us, it was a short panel. It was a short panel. It was about half a year.
Okay. So yeah, quite. And then they built it.
Yeah.
Probably quite quickly.
Yeah.
Quicker than Europe.
Yeah.
Sure, I imagine.
Did
you get back to see it finished? You went back and saw
I saw just some pictures.
Okay, but, right, yeah. Okay, well, that's interesting. Not every day, but yeah, it's a great
interesting. Yeah, that was really, really interesting. Because at first we said, we're all together in our office, we said, yeah, they don't have some regulation, just plain like Europe.
Surprised.
And then, we were so surprised.
Yeah. How sometimes our biased, our mind, you know, we have a conception, but it's not actually the truth. Mm. So you're a long-standing member of the FCSI. How has the association helped your professional career path?
I'm not so long in the FCSI. I'm since 6 years in Switzerland. Oh, and okay. I'm now the president since this year, since 3 months. And in the EMI, I'm since this year.
Right,
so,
okay.
But for me, it's
president
very...
for Switzerland?
Yes.
Ah, okay, right, okay.
But for me, it's a very impressive, special FCSI EMI.
Mm-hmm.
If you can speak with a consultant around Europe, you learn much more, you see much more, you hear much more. It's I think it's very important to know how they plan and how it is, not just in Switzerland. In Switzerland, the FCSI, it's a consultant, but not so special.
Okay.
In Switzerland, it has not as a high
membership.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm.
But the EMI for me, that's very interesting, and I think I learn a lot of in the next few years.
Yeah. What piece of advice would you give to somebody who was coming into the consultancy profession today, or thinking about becoming a consultant, maybe a chef or a carpenter or whatever?
The important thing for me is be honest.
Yeah.
And the rest, you will see. If with every client from us, we always are honest.
Okay.
I think, especially in the gastronomic, it's the feeling is really important for
the
guest, for the owner, for the landlord, also for us as consultants.
Yeah.
And if you have a good team and a good spirit, then it's at least always a good project.
Of course.
And that's for me the important thing.
Yeah. Sort of integrity and honesty with the clients.
Yeah.
The good, the bad, and the, maybe the other.
Yeah, you need some difference. But I think if you have a planning where you have a lot of difference and we can... a solution, if everyone is happy, then it's at least a good product.
Yeah.
And they have a restaurant, and it makes no sense if you have a restaurant and you never can pay this.
No,
5 years, you have to close.
Yeah.
And that's all together. It's so important that everything works. You need that you have the cash flow is important, you have the flows in the kitchen who are important, and all this, if you're not honest, it not works. You have to be honest together. Everyone on the team have to bring his input, and you have to bring everything together, and then at least you have a good restaurant or hospitality or whatever.
Yeah.
And otherwise, if everyone do his work, it will never work.
Is there any projects that you're working on at the moment you can give us a little share, or any secret without mentioning names, or are you not allowed? Or?
we, at the moment, our biggest project is the university's hospital in Zurich.
Right, okay.
And now I need your help. If you build a house, if you make the...
Foundations.
The foundation.
Yeah.
The foundation is about 26 meters deep.
Wow.
It's the biggest one in Switzerland.
Cool.
And that's really cool. And we are there now since six years on the planning.
On that project.
And the kitchen is about 2,500 square meter.
Wow.
And for Switzerland, it's huge.
Yeah.
For Germany is not that big. Yeah. For us, it's huge.
But still, yeah.
And that's very, very interesting. And we have there some special foods transfer.
Mm-hmm.
With some robotic systems, and that's very, very interesting.
Okay, so when's that going to finish? When that?
2033.
Okay, so quite some time.
Yep.
They're building at the moment.
It should be finished in 7 or 8 years, something like this.
Right, okay.
They are not sure at the moment.
Yeah. But quite a big
probably
project.
Probably in 8 years.
Okay. Okay. Well, Manfred, thank you for coming on this part of the show. It's been really great to meet you and talk, you know, a bit about your career. I hope you've enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, it's really, really interesting. Thank you.
We're now going to take a short break, and then we're going to be joined by another food service consultant. And then Manfred's going to come back at the end of the show and join us with two of his colleagues in the FCSI. And we're going to be talking about the FCSI and also about the upcoming trade show, conference.
Welcome to the world of Ali, the largest and most diverse food service equipment company on the planet. With over 110 brands under the Ali Group umbrella, we serve more than 150 countries worldwide. Our brands are at the forefront of innovation, offering cutting-edge technology and ergonomic designs that keep pace with the ever-evolving market. But we're not just a global leader, we're a network of local companies working together to deliver excellence. Ali Group's unmatched expertise in food service makes us the proud exclusive sponsor of Kitchen Curiosity. To learn more, visit aligroup.com.
So now I'm joined by leading hospitality consultant, food and beverage consultant, if you like, Michael Neuner, who's based here in Berlin. He's involved in lots of different projects. He's also specialises in sort of turning around businesses. Michael, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
I'm all right. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Not had far to travel, so
nope.
That's okay. Are you Austrian or German by...
I'm Austrian.
Austrian, that's what I thought. That's kind of what I was thinking. So you were brought up in Austria, obviously.
Born and raised in a hotel in Austria.
Whereabouts in?
In the western part of Austria, in a very small village called Mösern near Seefeld.
Okay.
Is just outside Innsbruck, but have left Austria very many years ago.
Right.
To travel the world.
Beautiful part of the world. So I imagine skiing is a...
Absolutely.
Skiing, big thing.
Hiking, mountain biking. Yeah. And good food.
I know that area quite well, being skied that area quite a bit. So can you tell us a bit about your background, how you got into consultancy, what you do really?
I started off in the hotel and restaurant business in Austria and then internationally, France, the US, and then was the hospitality director for McArthur Glen, who is a premium outlet center developer and manager, then European, now worldwide. And I, as I generally do, I reviewed my existing, what I provided value for money for my employer, and thought I could do more and better. So I suggested to the then CEO to retain them as a client and look for additional clients, which I allowed me to start off risk-free and to develop, my consultancy.
Consultancy. How long ago was that?
That was 2007.
Okay.
In the UK.
A couple of decades old.
Based in the UK.
Okay.
And did this across Europe without the... Then we had 19 outlets across Europe. And obviously in existing ones, it's more challenging to redo the entire concept, but to set out the strategy for new ones was quite a challenging and rewarding exercise.
Yeah. And what sort of clients are you typically working with and what sectors? I mean, you touched on it a bit there, but...
My focus lies in food and drinks businesses, frequently with a turnaround expertise. And there are generally more than one reasons why a business is not quite performing as expected or desires. And top of the list for lack of performance is frequently culture.
Right, okay.
And that's not a quick fix. And it takes, I would say, about 18 to 24 months to fix it. Because the lack of performance culture and allowing or making sure that everybody pushes in the right direction is crucially important.
When you say culture, you mean like the mindset, if you like?
You start with values.
Yeah.
You agree behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
And these need to be valid for everybody involved, just from the top. And there, the top is the crucial element of it. Establishing such guidelines or rules of engagement just for middle management and below is point blank not good enough. It needs to be from the top to the bottom and the other way around. I love using an inverted pyramid. And when we have such, alignment, wonders can happen. It's phenomenal what can be done.
Yeah.
And it's also quite distressing when you ruin this culture, how quickly you destroy a business.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, some powerful words there.
Yeah.
Challenging job for you, I suppose, because you're dealing with people at the top who maybe don't want to be told what to do. I don't know.
But unless there is buy-in from all the way from the top, I'm not taking on this job.
Fine.
And frequently, the top person leaves the moment I arrive.
Right. Okay.
You cannot have interference. You need to have. And a culture is not something you read, you get take out of a book. It needs to be elaborated. It needs to be bought in. It's not. It needs to be specific to a business and to the people who work there. So make sure that you have about the right team there. Agree the culture, how you work and how you engage, and what are we shooting for? What are the values? What are the behaviors, especially?
Yeah.
How we speak to each other. These are all very crucial elements which make ultimately the guest happy who is in the dining room.
Yeah, and the business successful, I suppose.
Ultimately successful.
Yeah.
But without that, I don't see long-term success without a healthy company culture which is bought in from the top and to the bottom.
Okay. So I know obviously we've got confidentiality, things like that, Michael, but are you able to talk about a recent project or a project in the last 5 years or whatever that you've dealt with and how you've sort of professionally approached it?
So there was a prominent events caterer with stagnant revenue numbers. They were desperately looking for their next step and tried year in and year out over 2-3 years and couldn't get it off the ground. And honest and transparent conversations with the leadership team showed that we lacked focus on targeting the right clients.
Okay.
And we also lacked the aggression, and I call it, and this is a strong word, but in sales you have to be aggressive. It doesn't come on your own.
Yeah.
You have to go out and hunt the customer or the client.
Okay.
So identifying these issues and analyzing the reasons, generating results, and then select the correct ones, implement them, and then again analyze the results which come out of them is a process of continuous improvement. And it creates buy-in of all stakeholders, common purpose, and ultimately clear accountability.
Yeah. And presumably success for this company.
Yes.
One would hope.
So we achieved a big 25% jump in the first year, another 20% in the second year
sales.
In revenue and sales.
Wow,
jump.
Okay.
The ambition was 100% over 3 years, which we didn't quite achieve. But, you know, sometimes you get a shoot for the stars if you want to fly to the moon.
Absolutely. And obviously also kind of saving that company, I suppose, because if it had carried on a downward trajectory, or the future might not be so bright, should we say?
I think business in general, they weren't in trouble, not at all.
Okay,
they just had larger ambitions.
Right, okay.
I think it's a very important point here. Yes, we can be happy at the revenue level we want to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
But as we have seen with COVID, for example, or other influences, certain markets can break away very quickly. And if we don't have plan B or plan C, if you're a large event caterer and all of a sudden a part of the the clientele you cater for falls away, mm-hmm. a number of reasons, financial difference, and you don't have anyone else to replace that revenue, you will be in trouble.
Yeah.
So it's ultimately always the fight of the fittest, mm-hmm. and the fittest will survive. And it's, you know, there's a clear difference for me between greed and performance management. For me, performance management is trying to improve your results to guarantee that you secure the jobs for the people you have in hand.
Right.
You know, and COVID was a perfect example. If you're a restaurant and you didn't know how to do delivery, you were in trouble.
Yeah.
And that's something we did then, is within 3 days, we changed a luxury restaurant business to delivery, generating £12.5 million in the first year. You know, be courageous, gather everybody around and lead from the front, and you will, it's wonderful what you can achieve.
Yeah, yeah. Very happy client, and obviously saving a lot of jobs. Absolutely. As well. Really positive story. Now, I know obviously you're based here in Berlin, and I know you work all over the world. You're Austrian by birth. Do you do many projects in Austria, a few, or?
You know, I need to clarify, I'm a boutique consultancy.
And, okay.
You know, I'm not a huge advisor with many clients. I handpick them. I work with them where it fits
okay.
into my other plans. I stagger them where I can. But generally, at the moment, it is, yes, a little bit in France and here in Germany. I have one client in Austria, but generally always they come through recommendations, requests, and when they're in trouble.
Yeah, okay. So you're a member of the FCSI. How has it supported you, and how important is the FCSI generally and also to yourself?
The FCSI is important for its network,
mm-hmm.
which is a base of knowledge and information. It gives us access to key decision makers around the world. It also is a very collegiate environment where, you know, the mantra of we share, we support, and we inspire is lived by. And it stands for professionalism and independence. And you have to be, you have to pass an exam if you want to be a professional consultant.
Yeah.
So there is a certain level of accreditation which comes with it. And I like this network and I like the framework.
Yeah. Okay. That last couple of questions we come on this part of the podcast. So how do you balance clients' expectations with sustainability, sort of compliance, if you like, or even advancement, not maybe just compliance?
I think in today's world, the one doesn't go without the other.
Okay.
I think the VUCA world we live in
mm-hmm.
continuously throws challenges at us, but with the variety of experts we have at our disposal, in our network, we are never short of finding the right solutions with our for our clients. It's a subject which is close to my heart,
mm-hmm.
but I find myself frequently having to argue for movements of sustainability mm-hmm. and compliance. Compliance is it's both for me are. You know, you like you get up, you brush your teeth, you polish your shoes, and you shower. It's a part of life. You can't do without.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. So, final question. It's a bit of a fun question. It's obviously been hit some quite heavy subjects there. You're hosting a dinner party. Three guests, living or historical. Who might you invite, and why?
So. My first guest would be Paul Bocuse, who was my, my second father figure and mentor over many years.
Okay.
Not only a great chef, but a very well grounded and extremely wise man.
Mm-hmm.
The second person I met once at a Hasselblad campaign was Karl Lagerfeld, for his love of photography and art.
Right, okay.
And the third person, I would pick between my all-time favorite musician, which is Bruce Springsteen, or Niki Lauda, the legendary racer, for his statement, "I have learned more from losing than from winning."
It's a great lineup. What might you cook? Would you cook, or would you take them out to a restaurant, or what would be the plan? Do you think?
No, I would let Paul cook.
Okay.
Because it's difficult to beat, but I would let him cook, absolutely.
Okay. Well, Michael, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. Genuinely, I've really enjoyed it, and it's been great listening to you. Clearly, you're a man in demand and a wealth of knowledge. I hope you've enjoyed being on the show, and you're going to rejoin us in a moment as we go on to a group discussion. Thank you
for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So this section of the podcast, I welcome back Manfred, Frank and Michael. Welcome back to the show. Just to kind of start us off, you're three leading international food service consultants. Is there one word that best describes food service consultancy today? Frank, maybe you kick us off.
Or it's one word.
Or one phrase.
So we were discussing that earlier. So what is the word? So, and that's, I would say it's unpredictable, is it? No, well, you cannot predict.
I would say we share, we support, we inspire.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
In the spirit of where we are heading for in Liverpool, I would say you never walk alone.
I love three great answers there. I love that. Manfred, you've got a lot to...
I agree. You never walk alone. Yeah, I heard this about 10 times in these 2 days, so it's perfect. Yeah, that's right. You never walk alone. Yeah. You're in a team. That's what we spoke to.
Perfect. Well, they're great answers. So how would you describe, in maybe in your home countries, but then maybe wider in Europe, the sort of the state of the food service market at the moment?
I think for my part, you know, if I can start, so I would say it never changed. So it's since 6,000 years the same, right?
Okay.
So I would say, so it's always going up and down. Everybody needs to eat. Everybody needs to drink. My parents said, if you want to have business forever, go into food service, open up a restaurant or do something with eat and drink. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Because everybody needs that. Yeah?
So the challenges are kind of the same as they've always been, always just been an evolving circle. Michael, so
I think it has become incredibly more challenging than when I look back at my parents who opened. You know, they were farmers and then became, innkeepers and hoteliers after. They basically had to do the very simple thing, just take care of the guest.
Yeah.
Today, we have so many more opportunities across the world. We can travel very easily in all corners of this globe. And in order to survive and, you know, let's say not surviving, but also make some money out of it and get the reward for the passion in the industry. I think you need to be more than ever a jack of all trades. You need to reach out to, an FCSI hospitality consultant, whether it's in the planning, whether it's in architectural planning, kitchen planning, but also looking at the business planning side.
Yeah.
We live in a VUCA world. It changes by the minute and influences from both sides of the Atlantic. We're trying to cope with. And there are micro trends and there are global trends.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's any more or less difficult than any other occupation. But, you know, you have to be sharp. We live in the sector generally is very... capital intensive, and to reap financial rewards is a balancing act.
Mm. Yeah, very well. Great comments there. I'd agree with you, Manfred. We'd pick up on that.
Yeah, it's in Switzerland the same. It's still difficult. I think same was Frank said. If you have a restaurant, it will be a restaurant, or they. About the last few hundred years, but at the moment, I think you need a good concept. You have to be on time with all the regulars and all this, and if you have the cash flow and all this on time together, then it works. We have a lot of concepts. They are not planned, like without gastro consultant.
Yeah.
Without and then you see process. After the few years they will close. So right. You need not just a nice restaurant. You need everything have to work together. And all they do this, they will have a good concept for the next few years who will work. And the same like the last few years.
Mm. Do you think these are
More than ever? So you need to, you need to at least see the same your clients or your guests see. So they're traveling the world, so they expect you that you know what they saw everywhere, and they want to see a little bit in their hometown.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. And Michael, you picking up about that sort of, difference between transatlantic, say, America and Europe. The problems are probably similar, are they? Am I fair to say? They're kind of worldwide or?
First of all, I think that the challenges change very, very frequently. When you look at hotel business, the hotel business has globally developed into with asset-light strategies.
Yeah.
Except certain markets, if you want to have a foothold in Germany, you will struggle to find just a hotel management contract. You either have to pay key money or sign a lease.
Mm-hmm.
I think local knowledge and how business is done in the specific country is crucial to set yourself up for success. And the word and. I have the habit of having these throwaway comments is locals know best.
Yeah.
So if you know how things work in the UK, it doesn't give you any right to get the pitch correctly if you're in Germany.
Absolutely.
So understand the specifics of the local economy, the laws,
cultures.
Employment, culture is the overriding umbrella of everything, the culture. And, I face sometimes challenges as, in the UK, we had invoices paid 30 days in a month.
Mm-hmm.
In Germany, you won't be doing this because you will be out of business because nobody will wait that long for their money.
Oh, wow.
So understand that if you do cash flow planning, otherwise you will struggle.
Yeah. Wow, that sounds good, to be honest. I like that. So how has the role of the consultant changed in recent years? I mean, obviously, if we come sort of COVID period to now, has the role changed as consultants or is it the same as it always was?
Actually, it's completely different than it was before.
COVID,
I would say completely different. It is
because
the business, the clients change their business models, or they struggling and they looking for new ways to do restaurants or cook or deliver food somewhere. So then you have to adapt with the kitchens you do. So you don't do big kitchens in high street locations. You do central kitchens. So mm-hmm. you work for delivery. You check. What's possible, and it's highly. I don't know if the English word is right. Technologize. We have to do technology. Technology. So we work with Vim, Revit, digital models. They can simulate things. It's not so easy as it was before. You're a chef. You take a piece of paper and you draw something. So that's not so easy, and that's the biggest change.
Yeah. It's been quite a fast. Pace really.
Well, it's going faster and faster with AI now. So because every client comes with an AI idea from his AI and say, this is what we want to do. Yeah. So because they think so, then you have to say there's a human factor. So maybe so we can go what technology can do now. So it's
of course, yeah,
not so easy anymore.
I think it's not so easy, but it's. Much more what we can show our customers or the owner. That's what you said. 25 years ago, you made one plan.
Yeah.
And this was the one plan.
Yeah, okay.
You couldn't change 100 times.
Mm-hmm.
It's it's better or worse. But at the moment, I think it's really cool. You can show the kitchen. You can walk through the kitchen with the virtual room. You mm-hmm. can see everything. You can change everything. If you think it's a little bit thin here, you can walk through with a trolley or something, and it's much more interesting for me anyway. I learned to draw per hand, but I never planned. If I start to planning, it was already everything with CAD,
AutoCAD. Yeah.
I guess it's easier as well for clients who are not designers to sort of visualize that, understand
it's
that.
It's easier, but it makes for us much more difficult because we have to do much more work.
Yes.
You have to change X times. You have maybe one person who decided with you now with Teams and email. You have 20, 30 people on the other side who decide. One is in USA, one is in Germany, one is in Switzerland, and everyone gives his feedback.
Opinion, yeah.
And that's much more difficult.
Mm.
That wasn't possible 20, 25 years ago. It was possible, but it was very difficult.
Yeah.
And so it's for us, it's strong, much more stronger, but I think much more interesting.
Yeah. And more stakeholders to manage, more different personalities to manage. So,
no, but the results getting better, right?
Yes.
So at the end of the day, it's better. So because, you know, 90% of the people cannot read plans, drawings. Mm. Yeah. So with the 3D and the discussions, so more people understand what they will get and getting involved. Yeah?
Generally, so more time at the beginning, but at least it's easier.
Easier for them at the end. Yeah.
And Michael, for you, have you seen that it's changed since last 5 years?
I think it has changed fundamentally. The entire approach has changed fundamentally. And my colleagues here speak about the planning, the kitchen planning, and the time motion studies. I think the approach is much more creating, first of all, putting an idea or a concept onto paper. Create a brand,
mm-hmm.
Understand the brand, what it stands for, and what it will deliver. And then take the client through a discipline where all the different competencies flow together. Because ultimately, if you have 10 people around the table who all chip in, you risk to have 10 different opinions.
Yeah.
And, me personally, I'm not a huge fan of opinions. I think we need to describe what we want to create, understand what is the USP, what are the fundamental, key performance indicators, and differentiators on the market. How to, who is on the market? Who are the competitors who do similar things already?
Mm.
And how do we compete with them on price, on product, on proposition, et cetera, et cetera? So I think the clients are more acceptable to involving consultants and management consultants in this process today.
Mm-hmm.
The word or the term hospitality consultant in the past has been borderline a derogatory statement, I would call it. And I think they now understand if they engage with somebody professional and credible, and especially from an independent organization, that they have a bigger chance of ultimately reaping success.
And,
so the disciplined approach is what is now more acceptable and understandable, and also to pay a fee for it.
Yeah.
So we work with consultants. Yeah. So that means, I have a food and beverage. If we start, most of the time I have a food and beverage concept.
Okay.
And a consultant leading through the process because that's, we call it just calculated with sharp pencils.
Yes.
Yeah. But then moves on to the design element.
Yeah.
But it's a much more of an intellectual position, really, I suppose. I like what you said about the opinions and things. I think it's a very valid point.
I mean, how often did we have in the past that we said, all right, I need a restaurant concept. And then you find out that actually the kitchen has already been planned and built. taking it the wrong way around.
The cart before the horse.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I mean, it's really interesting. I mean, what it kind of leads quite nicely onto the next question. What are the big misconceptions around food service consultancy, do you think, with clients? Or is there hesitations, is there reservations, or not?
I think the first problem is they think if we work together with a food consultant, it's much more expensive. That's in Sweden. But at least it's not.
Yeah.
Because they save money. Mm. But at the beginning, if you will tell them, if they ask you, yeah, it's cheaper, how you can just say, yeah, but you can't put a letter there that it's cheaper. But that's for us the biggest problem, that they think if we get you an order to plan everything that costs us a lot of money, if you don't do it, we save money. And that's not right.
They sometimes expect in the kitchen designer doing a food and beverage concept. Yeah, so right, so that they come saying, you know, it's a restaurant. So what is the hard? You plan a restaurant.
Yeah.
Tell me what to do. So and if you then come, you know, we need a food and beverage brief. A consultant who is doing that for you, or you give it to us. That's a hard process. You know, if you work for the big hotel chains, they mostly have food and beverage concepts.
Yeah, they're a brand standard, if you like.
Brand standards, yeah, so they not all the time make sense in locations, but more standards.
Hmm.
And we call Michael and say, Michael, we need help.
Michael, do you come across misconceptions from clients? Or?
Sure you do. I think you have a little bit two camps in this.
Okay.
You have the entrepreneur who wants to create something.
Okay.
And if he or she wants to enter a new market, he's well advised to get the knowledge, the local knowledge, and check and put a check and balance on the assumptions. I think institutional investors or financial organizations are a lot less emotional about this. And we'll listen to it.
Okay.
But make no mistake. Yes, you need a vision.
Mm-hmm.
This can come from an entrepreneur, from a chef, from any individual. And then you need the diligence of proper execution planning. But regardless, I think we have a better status as hospitality consultants today in the world than we had 20 years ago. There's no doubt.
Right. Okay, fair. How important is it for a consultant to remain independent, and how does the FCSI support this?
Yeah, so that's
leading on, really.
Leading on what you say. You know, you need local knowledge. If you come as an investor somewhere in a country, you need local knowledge, and if you don't have a network or platforms or like FCSI where you can just meet independent consultants. I would never do a job in Switzerland without asking Manfred help me, because I don't know all the laws, even if I have AI to tell me, but then I need a local guy who's doing the concept or something, you know, something I cannot do. The same with Italy or France, or why should I? So there are people there.
Yeah.
I know they are good. They are tested, certified. They can do the job. So, and if there's a food and beverage consultant on it, so I don't need to do that. That's it. Yeah. So if you want to do everything alone, so you're alone. Yeah. So that means, you know, every mistake you do is your mistake. Every success you do is yours. But it's very unlikely that you do the good job in Vietnam if you can do it in Switzerland. Yeah. So better to have a network. Yeah. So an independence means, you know, if you're independent, you don't have to do unnecessary things just to fulfill some dependency. Is that right?
Yeah, I know what you mean. To satisfy somebody else.
To satisfy somebody else. Yeah. Yeah. So you
can only focus on your client.
You focus on your client. Mm. The client is paying you for that. So that's it.
Yeah.
That's what you said at the beginning. You never walk alone.
No.
I think that's really, really, that's really good. If I have something in Austria, Germany, I know where I have to ask. Mm-hmm. Italy also. Yeah. But that's the good thing.
And Michael, how important is it to be independent, do you think, for a consultant?
It's very important because
for the client.
I think it is crucial. Yeah. I think it is crucial in my mind. Why? Because we will advise the customer or our clients to spend the money on where it's important.
Yeah.
We have no obligation to put, you know, I would say to put an omnibus into a garage where a seven-seater or a nine-seater van would do.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say is, you know, if you know what you're going to serve, then pick the equipment which is suited to deliver this.
That job, yeah.
I have a client, a beach bar in France. And that beach bar, which is obviously only open in the summer, has two pieces of equipment.
Right.
And and these two pieces of equipment allow her to generate around, I would say, 35,000 to 40,000 euros a week in
wow.
revenue.
And that's a.
And the two pieces of equipment are two Thermomixes. She does everything with a Thermomix, and I'm not trying to make any.
Wow,
that's but that's amazing. An example.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where,
exactly.
You know, get the right piece kit. Of equipment. Get the right kit. And understand what's possible, what's not possible, the space you have available, and advise what is best for the client.
Yeah.
And anything else is really not important.
Yeah.
Really. Yes, we have preferences, as chefs have preferences over one piece of equipment or another.
Mm-hmm.
That's personal preference. I think the independence of a consultant will say, okay, what do you need to do? What do you need this piece of equipment to do? What is the volume? What is the quantity? What is the throughput? And
what's available on
exactly what's
country,
available? Can it be serviced, etc.?
Yeah.
These are all components where you then make an informed decision, which should be the right decision for the client.
Yeah. So I mean, really coming back to what you're saying, Manfred. Really, by using FCSI consultant, independent consultant like that, they are going to save money. Picking up what Michael said, because someone's not trying to fill the kitchen full of equipment just because they can. It's much more focused and okay.
It's also safer for the client. So if you have somebody in the country who knows the business, and that's a recommendation. It's part of the network,
compliance, legal, all of this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So the last question on this subject, then we're going to get on to conferences and things. FCSI, if that's okay. What, not a negative question, but what challenges do you see coming up in the market for food service generally in the next sort of 3 to 5 years? We have quite a few operators that listen to us, so any.
Well, who should start?
Wisdom you can give us. For free,
my answer is good question, next question.
I think one challenge which will continue to increase is skill sets.
Okay.
Skill sets is gets rarer and rarer. We are not having the best reputation in the world as far as employment or of choice is. However, if you're passionate about what we do, there is no better sector to be in.
Mm-hmm.
But skill sets will continue to be an issue, which we can compensate in our businesses, but I see this one of the largest challenges. And then you go, you know, throwing the ball onto the equipment manufacturers is building the right equipment to suit. We have coffee machines with 25 different buttons. And they range anywhere from 5 to 50,000 euros.
Mm.
What is the right piece of equipment for that specific site, for that specific venue? A hospitality consultant can help you with this.
Yeah.
But I think it's two ways. You know, if you go back to the development of convection ovens, steamers, et cetera, you know, there were times where you needed a degree to understand them. Our university degree to understand them. I think build something for simple operations as well.
Yeah,
That's reliable and simple. That's it. Yeah, simplify it and make it, you know, in different markets. I cannot put a computer where I don't have a stable, how you call it, electricity.
Okay.
So because that will crash the computer inside, and then you have to bring it into the desert somewhere every time a new one, just because they had power cuts. Yeah, so that's,
yeah,
I don't know, manufacturers sometimes don't understand. Yeah, so,
yeah, some of the sort of real life challenges in these remote locations.
Simple, easy to use equipment, what people with not too many skills can use.
And Manfred, for you, what do you see sort of the challenges coming up?
Yeah, for me, it needs to be simple, but the next 5 years we will see what everything goes with AI and all digitalization. Maybe then you have just to say, I want a coffee, and then they will bring somewhere around the coffee. And the next 5 years, if you look backwards in the last 10 years, how old is this? 20 years, iPhone. Mm.
Yeah, 15 years.
In these 15 years, there is a lot of things they are gone and done, and the next 5 years is very interesting, and we have to have the focus for now to say to the owner, you need at the moment, that as Michael said, this one is the right thing for you, and everything else maybe it will come, but not at the moment. We make a lot of studies, how is the hospitality kitchen for university in the year 20, we had one in 10 years.
Yeah.
I say always look what we have and that it will be in 10 years.
Yeah. Mm. It's automatization is coming, but everybody thinks a robot, you know, how we call it, winking arm here, waving arms, that's the solution, but it's not at the end because too complicated, too slow.
There is one point we haven't mentioned, and I think we make a mistake not mentioning it, is in the hospitality sector, we still struggle very much with sustainability in general.
Yeah.
I think we are sometimes using guest services or guest wishes as an excuse of not being able to do certain things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As a generation in general, we need to make stronger statements. Mm. And, you know, I take the example of your amenities, your bathroom amenities in the past, in every every bathroom. And, if you were in the upper 4 or 5 star category, it was a requirement to have individual toiletries.
Yeah.
Well, that's long gone. And I think we need to be a lot more forward thinking of how we deal with this. And we have a bigger responsibility. Food waste is still, although there are many initiatives done, they're sporadic. They're not general enough. Legislation needs to kick in. I think we need to work harder on this going forward.
Yeah.
And we need to penalize people who don't abide by it, because that's the only way we're going to get there.
Yeah.
And FCSI plays a key role. So because, you know, if you go to France, for instance, they have sous vide without plastic.
Right.
So nobody, you know, we don't know how to do that. So, but there's a law. They're doing that since 2 years.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And then we can share.
But then we have a new development, as we have just seen recently. You have algae developed foils.
Yeah.
So we can when we want to.
Yeah,
we just need to be pushed a little harder, because inherently the human race, as my wife's going to get a laugh out of this, we're a little bit lazy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, some great information, and we've got that for free, so thank you. Can we just pick up a little bit about the conferences that are coming up for FCSI? Frank, if you wanted to start. I know we talked about Liverpool,
So Liverpool is coming. Yes. Liverpool is EMI conference coming next year, end of May in Liverpool. So we were there, all of three of us, right?
When was the last time you had one in the UK?
I don't remember. It was Edinburgh 2006 or something.
Okay, so quite almost 2 days.
Yeah, long time.
Long time. Ago, yeah. And you changed. What beautiful city.
Yeah.
Actually, I was a little bit concerned, but we were there. So it's very nice people, very nice. The hotel is nice. It's a Titanic.
Oh, I don't know. The hotel. What a beautiful hotel.
Oh, yeah. Nice. And beautiful. The food was good. You know, actually, it was, you know, everything. I was a little skeptic, I tell you. So, but it's a very nice city. We can walk around. No, we were walking. So we have the restaurants are nice. The locations are nice. We don't know the program yet, but we trust.
And that's going to be next year.
Next year, I think 29th of May, right? 29th, 30, okay. Something. The last weekend in May.
Fine.
So that will be a nice conference. So
well, that's fantastic. And what else have you got coming up this year?
This year in July, we are in Vietnam. Yep. In I cannot pronounce the name. Sorry for that. So,
okay,
so it's a very nice conference Asia Pacific Division is doing. So that's, I think the last one was in Australia, right? No.
Perth.
Perth, you were there. So, and now they're doing that in Vietnam. And Vietnam is a dream location. Everybody wants to go there, see, you know, all the Australians go there talking about that all the time. So, and actually for me, it was quite surprising how cheap it is to go there.
Yeah.
So, and then it's a perfect spot to see the Americans and Europeans coming together in that region. So that was, you know, I'm really looking forward to that.
Okay.
Germany, Austria is in Vienna. So again, Vienna. Yep. So we changed the system a little bit, and this time it's all about Vienna. Because that's a crazy city, actually.
Right.
It's not Austria, I would say. So, but sorry for that. So that's a
beautiful city.
Yeah.
So just we wrap up the end of the podcast. If you've got one wish for the industry for 2026, each of you maybe, bit of a fun one to end on.
Well, that's
Michael, you can start.
You can start.
One wish. Take care of your planet.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Really good one, Michael. Good.
Yeah. So that the clients also have understanding that we need to do that, and not that it's too expensive.
Yeah. Of course.
Mm. Yeah. I think that's a good word for the end. Yeah.
Very clear strategy and something to think about. Well, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast and welcoming us to Berlin, this beautiful office and demonstration kitchen. I hope you've all enjoyed it.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. No problem. Well, next time we're heading over to Italy to discuss combination ovens, and we're also heading over to Sweden later in the next quarter. To one of the most environmentally friendly dishwasher manufacturers in the world. And we'll be discussing innovations, technology, and how they can benefit the food service sector. If you've got any questions or comments or topics, or anything you'd like me to cover, you can email me on radford@kitchencuriosity.co.uk. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you for tuning in to Kitchen Curiosity. Don't forget to subscribe. Join us next time as we explore the heart of food service equipment and the hospitality sector. Have a great day.
Kitchen Curiosity is written and hosted by Radford Chancellor and is edited and produced by Tom Anderson. Kitchen Curiosity is exclusively sponsored by Ali Group and is a Sound Rebel production.